Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in once again for one of our Lord It podcasts. My name's Mark Reed. I'm sure you're all familiar with my voice by now. I'm boring you on a, not necessarily a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly basis, just to discuss certain points of law. And actually, certainly today is going to be more of a discussion with my colleague Ellis to bring me up to speed with a certain matter that's been going on in the news at the moment. So, Ellis, hi.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Now, I have no idea what we're going to be talking about, which is a bit odd for, you know, our usual process of getting a podcast together. But the reason why is because I wanted it to be a case of you explaining to me what's been going on with this particular issue or point that you're going to be discussing. I literally have no idea. And then we can have an off-the-cuff conversation about it. How does that sound?
Absolutely, yeah, sounds good.
Perfect. Okay, well, I'll fire away then. I'm all ears.
So, as I'm sure you do as well, when I'm eating my lunch, having my lunch break, I like to just catch up with the world and the news that's going on. And one article that caught my eye today was about Megan Thee Stallion, who is a rap artist. She has announced today that she's in a lawsuit with her record company, all due to the definition of the word album. And whether the mixtape that she released recently in 2021 constitutes an album as part of her contract, and therefore has she complied with her obligations as per her contract with that record label.
Interesting. Right, okay. So I got that, but at the same time as getting it, I thought to myself, do I need to take a second just to digest what you've said? So maybe for the listeners, you could just break that down again and just explain again. So we're dealing with a rapper, and the rapper's name is
Megan Thee Stallion.
Sounds quite cool, quite quirky. This particular rapper is now in a dispute with her record label,
lawsuit filed in America, yeah.
And it's in America, okay. And explain again then, it's over the fact that she's got an album coming out or has come out, or using the use of the word album?
Yeah, so normally when an artist signs up with a record label, they may specify that with that record label, they must release 2, 3, 4, 5 albums in order to satisfy the criteria of that contract.
Understood.
For a certain amount of terms.
Okay.
Here, she has released what she has labelled a mixtape. Mm-hmm. However, she's arguing that as per the definition of album in her contract, that this mixtape does kind of tick the box as an album, and therefore her contract with that record label has been fulfilled.
So... forgive me, but are you able to explain to me what anything within the articles that you've been reading, what constitutes an album from her point of view?
Yeah, so in terms of the agreement that they've got in place, the only definition in terms of an album is a body of work that is longer than 45 minutes. So she's claiming that this mixtape is longer than 45 minutes, and therefore, as per the contract that they have signed, it does tick the box as an album. There hasn't been any kind of official response from the record company at the moment because the case has only just been filed. But they're going to be arguing against that.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, let me just play devil's advocate here. So, an album. We're saying that something's an album. We're putting the word or the understanding of the development of an album into the context of her contract and the way it's been worded.
Mm-hmm.
That means that 45 minutes as being the time frame for something to constitute an album isn't clear enough, so from my perspective, as to whether that can be 2 tracks,
mm-hmm.
that or 3 tracks or 4 tracks that add up to 46 minutes.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, you've got an EP.
Yeah.
3 or 4 tracks.
Yeah.
You know, a single. You know, I mean, look, let's go right back. You know, you're the Beatles days and all of the greats, you know, they would be bringing out all of their singles and their LPs and, you know, and we understood the difference between them, but they would have more than one track.
Yeah, a mixtape traditionally is a lot of tracks that have, I mean, the simple has been mixed. So normally is longer than a conventional single, as you said, and potentially is put together in a different way to a traditional album.
So she is arguing that it's not the quantity of different tracks that constitutes an album as per her contract. It's actually the time frame for the as she
body.
Calls it, a mixed tape.
Yeah,
the complete body of the work must exceed 45 minutes to constitute an album.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, adhering to the terms of her contract or fulfilling the terms of her contract.
Yeah, I think the issue.
So where are we at now?
The situation here is there has been a bit of conflict with her and her record label potentially not going down the route that she wanted to in terms of releasing or putting out her music. So this, if deemed an album, allows her to potentially break away from that record label and go in a different direction.
Okay. So the disputes crystallise, they're in the dispute, there's no way that they can work alongside each other again.
Yeah.
She wants to say, I fulfilled my contract now.
Yeah.
So what's the, do we know any more detail on the amount of the amount of albums that she was supposed to be releasing? Was it just a one album and she's saying this is it, or was it three and this is meant to be her third?
It's definitely more than one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure as to the details, because in most of these circumstances, kind of the detail of a contract isn't released.
Mm.
The lawsuit was only filed on Friday, so I suspect more details will come out as things go along. But yeah, no details in terms of the exact figure at the moment.
Okay, so let's put this into legal terms then, Ellis. So what's your position? You're a solicitor. You get a phone call from someone to say, I'm really frustrated with my record label for the following reasons, and then they list. Okay, you're going to immediately ask to see the contract. Okay,
yeah.
So contract is key. The terms of the contract are key. Certain clauses in there will be possibly, you know, open to interpretation. Mm-hmm. So it's important to, you know, refine that and make sure that it's clear and that there's, you know, no stone unturned. Come on, tell me, what is it you think is going to be the outcome of this?
Well, in these sorts of circumstances, it's normally a case of looking back to what was intended at the time the contract was agreed and whether the circumstances that both parties are putting forward would have made sense when that contract was agreed. So I think in this case, I mean, with the facts that we've got, if the body of work is longer than 45 minutes and that is the only specified definition, then, I mean,
is there much wriggle room? I mean, at the end of the day, whoever it is that's drafted these contracts on behalf of the record label, as then it's been presented to this lady, this rapper, and if the only wording within, I mean, this could be a new thing. This might be something that's not actually been, you know, experienced before, because it just seems that standard rule of thumb would be we would expect, just because it's not worded, but we would expect somewhere around 10 to 14 album tracks, you know, or sorry, tracks to constitute an album.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, certainly in these days, I mean, if you go back to your Pink Floyds, and, you know, the minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes of amazing music is being, you know, presented to the world.
Yeah.
But if there's nothing within the contract that identifies any, you know, number of tracks that are required, surely they haven't got a leg to stand on.
Well, this
she's fulfilled her duty.
Yeah, it's going with what you've got, and that's all that's kind of written in stone, as it were, in terms of the agreement. So, I think it will be a difficult one in terms of the court to decide, if it does ever get to court. Lots of these are kind of settled behind closed doors.
Of course they are.
But that kind of leads us to a conversation that we had earlier in terms of our Laudit Music department, and making sure that while at the moment relationships and collaborations are in the best place, that isn't always the case further down the line.
Yeah.
So any agreement, contract you have in place, make sure it's as specific and as detailed as possible, just so both parties are clear on where they stand, what's happening, just in case a dispute does arise at a later date.
Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting one. I'm going to follow this. So what I'm going to say to our listeners, we will be back once there's been further information released, or the case progresses, if it does at all, because as Ellis has said, you know, it's quite frequent in these circumstances that a decision or a you know, something has gone on behind closed doors that is not released to the public, that puts an end to the dispute. So hopefully, you know, we'll be released some information. But what I'd say is, absolutely, Ellis. I mean, look, we review contracts on a daily basis. certainly within our team, there's an awful lot of experience there, and usually we've seen and read and heard and been on the other side of so many different issues with contractual terms over the years. But this one's intrigued me. So thank you for sharing that with me, Ellis.
You're very welcome.
We'll be back in touch, hopefully within the next few days or weeks, we don't know, where we can discuss this further. So thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Take care.